You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
Welcome to Through the Bible for our final lesson in the book of Proverbs. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to turn to chapter 30 as Dr. J. Vernon McGee starts with this introduction.
Now, when we get to the last chapter, chapter 31, we'll find that it's a mother's instruction to a son. We believe it's Bathsheba's instruction to her boy, Solomon. And it reveals the type of a woman you should seek for a wife. It was very interesting that Matthew Henry, who probably wrote the driest commentary that's ever been written, it is dry. When he was in Oxford, he met a girl of the nobility and they fell in love with each other. And she went to talk to her father about it. And her father said, "Who is this Matthew Henry? Who ever heard of him? Nobody ever heard of him. And he will never make a name for himself." So he wanted her to give him up. And he said to her, says, "Where did he come from? What's his background?" And she answered, she had a lot of spunk, by the way. She said, "Well, Father, I don't know where he come from, but I know where he's going. And I want to go with him. And I'm going with him." And she did. And Matthew Henry wrote about the gift of Eve to Adam, about the nicest thing that's ever been written. He said that God took Eve from the side of Adam, not from his foot to be his menial, our slave, our servant, not from his head to be his mental superior, and did take him from that which is nearest his heart, that he might love her, and that which is under his arm, that he might protect her. May I say to you, it took a man that knew a little about romance to write that about a woman. And now we're going to see Solomon's mother giving him advice about the kind of wife he ought to have. And I don't know whether that man ever found that kind of a wife or not. But it's a great section. As far as I know, it's never used in these seminars on marriage. I don't know why they center on Ephesians and they always want to make the woman the servant of the man. I think young preachers enjoy doing that, but when you get a little older, you'll find out that that's not the way to go, and that's not really what the scripture teaches at all. But the seminars go on and on and on, and they're making quite a few men rich and some famous. And brethren, these things ought not to be, but that's the way they are today. Now, there has been something else, been very wonderful here in Proverbs, and I think I should call attention to it. It's God's method of teaching. Beginning with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And let me close this part with this quotation that comes from Paul Harvey, who's a media journalist. He said the greatest threat to America is not communist aggression, nuclear warfare, nor oil embargo. The greatest threat is a public education system that has abandoned principles on which America was founded. If sex education can be objective and value-free, then it follows that sex experimentation will soon be a required lab course. Christian education assures that a child will learn to view from God's perspective. The most a public school system can promise is that a graduate can read at the ninth grade level. The largest single group of parents who send their children to a Christian school are public school educators. Now, it's well to keep in mind the kind of education that God designed. You find it in the book of Proverbs, and I suggest it as good reading today for those who are interested in education, those who are parents, and those who are young people. This is a book on education, and I could wish that it could be put in the hands of every educator in this country, but that's hoping for too much, I know.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, strengthen us with the wisdom and grace of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're off to Proverbs 30 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today we come back in our study here in the book of Proverbs to the 30th chapter, and we put in at verse 20, actually. I'll move rather rapidly through this section. It says, "Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness." Now we're living in a day when this actually has come to pass, that there are those living in sin, and they'll argue with you that they are not living in sin. I understand one child born out of wedlock was given a name that I'm not sure just what it was, but it meant purity, and it meant the little child was pure. Well, to begin with, the child has a sinful nature. I don't care if they've been married a half a dozen times to each other and how many ceremonies they'd have. But there's one thing for sure, that it is to try to say that adultery is not a sin. God still says it's a sin, and he hasn't changed his mind. He didn't learn anything from this generation. And more as I see the sin about me, I'm convinced that God didn't need to learn anything from this generation. He already knew all about them, wrote about them here. Now, verse 21, "For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth." That's Jeroboam. He was a servant, became the first king in the northern kingdom. "And a fool when he's filled with meat." And that was that rich fool that built bigger barns, and then he was eating gourmet, of course, with barns like that. But he was a fool, and he was filled with meat. And then the third thing, "For an odious woman when she's married." And a great deal could be said about that, but I've said, I guess, too much already. "And a handmaid that is heir to her mistress." That is, sometimes a poor person, very poor, been walked on, suddenly becomes rich. There's no one that is as overbearing as a person like that. Now, we come to the zoo. We're going to visit. "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise." Now, God says we can learn from the animal world, and there's some very interesting animals. The first are a little folk, just little bitty animals. In fact, first is an ant, and there are two groups here. The first group shows the way to God for the sinner in these little ones. And then the second group, the walk of the saint before God. Now notice it says here in verse 24, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding wise." Verse 25, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." I was noticing here the other day a red ant hill. I hadn't noticed one here in California. I used to see them constantly in Texas, and I didn't realize they had been able to get to California, but they've come out here also. I guess they like the climate. And there was quite an anthill. And as I looked at it, I thought of this proverb here, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." Now, they're wise, and we can learn from them. And we've already had something about the ant back in Proverbs 6:6. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Now, ants do gather grain. They do it in Texas, and they do it in Palestine. I've seen one of these little ants carrying a grain of wheat or oats bigger than the ant, but was carrying it right along. We hear the expression, "busy as an ant," or "busy as a bee." And what are they doing? Well, they store up and stash away foods during brief and bright days of harvest. And the very interesting thing is, the ant is an example to us of wisdom in preparing for the future and material things. Somebody says Christians ought not to have insurance and they ought to trust the Lord. My friend, I think you ought to have Social Security since it's available. You ought to have insurance. You ought to save your money. You ought to buy a home. Sure, make a will. Provide for your loved ones for the future. Certainly you're to do this. If you don't believe it, go look at the little ant. He's taking out insurance on all those things. But it also has another message. There are so many people make no arrangements beyond death. Or they even go to the undertaker and arrange for that. You heard about the undertaker that had a layaway plan, pay now and go later. He had reversed it, of course. And maybe you ought to do that. I've never felt like I should go quite that far. But the thing is, what about after death? Only for a few fleeting moments of time are we here, and there's no preparation for the endless ages of eternity. Care for the physical body and neglect of the soul. It's said that that wicked emperor of Rome by name of Hadrian, when he was dying, he made this statement. He says, "No more crown for this head, no more beauty for these eyes, no more music for these ears, and no more food for this stomach of mine. But my soul, oh my soul, what's to become of you?" And it's so sure, it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after death, the judgment. And you can live for this life only, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. You can build bigger barns. But my friend, there's a day coming, and God says, "Flee from the wrath to come. Prepare to meet thy God, and while it's called today." Now, that's the first little insect we visit. And now the second, verse 26, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rock. Now, the conies actually are not the rabbit. The biological name is Hyrax syricus. They have long hair, short tail, round ears. They're feeble and defenseless. They're not able to burrow in the ground. Very frankly, they're poor, they're helpless, little creature, and they're said to be very unclean. And they hide in rocks, and they find there a place of safety. And man, look at that little animal and learn something. We're poor, we're helpless, we're unclean sinners. And we need to recognize our pitiful plight, but we can flee to the rock. And we're told that, "Oh, then to the rock let me fly." That's what the hymn has. "To the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I." That rock, I think we know, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock was Christ. You don't guess what that is. Now we have here in verse 27, "The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands." The locusts, it's a creature of destruction. Joel had a great deal to say about the locust plagues. You have it in the book of Revelation. They're great numbers. They break down trees. They have no leaders. When we were in Palestine, they were having not really what would be called an epidemic of them, but there were quite a few of them. It was not even be called a plague of them, but there were quite a few up around the Sea of Galilee. And I tell you, they were doing a good job of destroying everything in their way. They are a creature of destruction. Now, will you notice here? The locusts have no king. Now, today we have one. Christ is the unseen head of the church. We are warned, Paul said to the Corinthians, "For ye are yet carnal. Whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? You walk as men." And we are today to walk as those that have Christ as our head. That locust, a creature of destruction, can teach us to walk looking to our leader. They have none. Now we have the fourth here is the spider. In verse 28 it says, "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." Now this is the gecko. In Hebrew, it's actually a little lizard. And Delitzsch says, "The lizard thou canst catch with the hand, and yet it is in king's palaces." Somehow or another, it works its way in to houses, and it has an affinity for fine tapestry. And it has fan-like feet, and they have a sticky substance on it, and exudes an ooze, and it can actually hold a marble walls and the tessellated ceilings of that day. And it speaks of faith, faith that takes hold of the promises of God, of entering into the heavenlies, if you please, and lays hold of the fact the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. I know whom I believe. Persuaded He's able to keep that which He's deposited with me. Being confident of that very thing, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the days of Jesus Christ. Now we come to the second group. Now we are told, verse 29, there be three things which go well among beasts, and they're comely, and they're going. A lion, and the lion just goes straight ahead, doesn't detour. He's not afraid of the pussycats in the neighborhood. They don't frighten him. And Paul could say, none of these things move me. I think that the curse of the church is pussyfooting preachers and mealy-mouthed deacons. They're the ones. It said of Cromwell that he was a man without fear. They asked him how and why. He said, I've learned to, when you fear God, you have no man to fear. Stonewall Jackson got the name because one day as he was in battle, and he was a wonderful Christian, General Cox looked over at him and said to his men, and they were ready to retreat. He said, look at General Jackson. He's standing like a stonewall. Man of courage, like a lion, the walk of a believer. And then we have a greyhound here, verse 31, a greyhound. And we're not talking about a bus now. This is not the greyhound bus. But the Christian is like a greyhound, but not a bus. That is, he has girded up his loins and to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. And then the other one that's mentioned in this verse is a he-goat, a mountain goat. He's a climber. He lives way up in the top of the mountains. May I say to you, this mountain goat reveals the fact that you and I are seated in the heavenlies. We ought to walk worthy of the high calling wherewith we're called. These are great. Now we come to chapter 31, and this is a chapter that I believe was written by Solomon because it says the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, I believe that Lemuel, because there's no king named that, and the very interesting thing is that you will find that Solomon's real name, the one that God gave him, was Jedidiah. And that means beloved of the Lord. Now, Lemuel means devoted to the Lord, and I think that this was probably the pet name that Bathsheba had for Solomon. I think around the palace you could have heard her calling Lemuel, and that was the pet name. I have a notion that every man listening to me today, you can go back and remember a pet name that your mother had for you. And you'd be almost ashamed to say what it was, but she had a pet name. And so I think this was that. And this is a mother's advice to her son. Make a great Mother's Day sermon. She says, what, my son? In other words, she says, oh, what can I say to you? And she needed to say something because, you see, she saw in this boy Solomon something of the characteristics of his father David. And she knew of the sin of David. I don't think it was her sin, it was David's sin. You remember in the first chapter of Matthew, it says that David begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Her name's not even called. Why? Because it was David's sin. And God's making that very clear. And so she sees that in the life of Solomon, and it was there, of course. And so she gives him words of advice. And she says to him, here, what, my son, what can I say to you? And what the son of my womb? You are my precious boy. And what the son of my vows? I dedicated you to God. Now give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She knew David. And then verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. And yet today we're told that every day in Washington, this was several years ago, there are 28 cocktail parties by government officials. And that doesn't make any difference whether they're Democrats or Republicans or what have you. They all have this in common. Now it says, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Oh, how tragic it is to have drinking men in high positions. Now, use this, she says, for medicine. Give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are pointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. Oh, Solomon, be honest and just and fair. Now she tells him how to pick a wife. Say, this is good advice. This is God's advice. Who can find a virtuous woman? And old Matthew Henry, who, by the way, had a wonderful romance, and yet he's quite dry, and it's almost humorous to hear what he has to say. He says, you know, it is hard to find one. But virtuous here actually means a woman of character, a woman of strength, a woman of real ability. And notice what kind of wife she's to be. She's not to be a little shrinking violet. She's not to be, you know, like Whistler's mother sitting in a rocking chair. Somebody said that Whistler painted another picture of his mother because he came in one day and she was sitting on the floor. And he said to her, "Mother, you're off your rocker." And may I say that I think most mothers today, you don't find them sitting in a rocking chair. They are busy. And this is the story of a busy mother. He says here, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She's faithful, you see. So that he shall have no need of spoil. That means he'll not ask gain, because she'll not spend all of his money. She's a helpmeet. You see, God never intended woman to be a servant of man. She's to be his partner, and to be a real partner, the helpmeet. When God made Eve as a helpmeet, God made the other side of him. He was only half a man. He became a complete man with Eve. And now verse 12, she'll do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. A helpmeet, you see. Now, she works. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She doesn't mind working. And verse 14, she's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. That means she's looking for bargains. She's willing to spend 25 cents worth of gas to drive across town to save 12 cents and buy a dress or something else, you see. Now, verse 15, she riseth also while it's yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I tell you, she knows how to keep house. She runs a tight ship. Wonderful mother. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. You know, I don't recall when I was growing up as a boy of ever getting up of a morning and finding my mother in bed. I thought about that just the other day. Now, later on, of course, is different when she became old. But when I was a boy growing up, I never got up of a morning and found her in bed. She was up. In fact, breakfast is generally ready at that time. Now it says here that she considereth a field. She buyeth with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She's a woman that runs the household. She's a woman of ability. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her cattle goeth not out by night. What man's work is from sun to sun, a woman's work is never done. That's the picture here. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands holdeth a distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yet she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's a generous person, you see. How wonderful. She's not afraid of the snow for our household. Why? For a household, are clothed with scarlet. My mother kept my pants patched when I was a boy. Now let me drop on down here. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Verse 25. Now, will you notice? Verse 30. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The first thing you'd look for, young man, is to look for a woman that is a Christian young man. And then I hope you get a good-looking one in the bargain. Nice to have them together like that. And it says, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's the reason I guess they have Mother's Day, but there are a lot of mothers not worthy of the tribute given on Mother's Day. But what a wonderful picture this is. No wonder that this has been a book for young men, and it's good for young ladies also, and it's good for senior citizens. We go next time to the Epistle to the Philippians. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Join us next time for a new study in Philippians. Until then, you can reach us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org.
Jesus came home, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
the Lord. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. I pray for all our faith partners and radio listeners to be blessed by the radio broadcast today. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out here in Radio Land once again. Well, we want to talk to you today concerning the will of God and what God has prepared for us all as children of God. And this message is not only to those that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, but it's also to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole purpose of the broadcast, each and every time that we have the opportunity to come into your homes and nursing homes and prison cells and automobiles and wherever you are to tell you about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, is for soul winning. We want folks to get saved. These are the last of the last of the last days. And get your house in order. You have the opportunity when you hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the most important thing, that when we turn our hearts toward home and believe what the Word of God says to us all, then we can go through heaven's gate with faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is vitally important. That's not only to those that have tuned into the broadcast, but it's to us as well that sits behind the microphone. We don't hide behind the microphone and tell others what they should be doing or contemplating on, and we don't do likewise. We must serve the true and living God, the one that died on Calvary's cross for all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease. And this is what he's done for us. So we thank him for everything, because he became our substitute. He took your place. He never sinned, but he took your place. And we want to look at what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. We want to look at what he's done for you. He loves us so much until he went to Calvary's cross. Can you imagine for a moment that someone would take your place? He became your substitute so that you wouldn't have to go? Matter of fact, you couldn't go anyway, because the Word of God tells us in Romans 3 and verse 23 that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's only one that could have taken that place there, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned. The Bible tells us that. And we believe exactly what the Word of God says, that he who knew no sin was made a sin offering. Isn't that wonderful? He took your place. He died for you. We should all be thankful, because by God's grace and mercy, he loved us so much until he went to Calvary's cross to die for your sin. You were the one that was supposed to be there to be crucified, but Jesus took your place. And when I say crucified, I'm talking about you deserved death. That's what it is. And then eternal damnation. But because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we cannot take this for granted, because what is happening is that he took our place. We gave him our sins, and he wants our life. And we must live for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
So we want to look at today in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, which is a very important verse of scripture here that tells us what we have through Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross. And most of us today, we don't understand that what he has done for us, that we can walk in that victory, that we can walk in the peace of God. So in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Minister Gloria is going to open up or unlock, unpack the scriptures to allow us to see what Jesus has done for us.
For he, God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, praise God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Now, isn't that wonderful? Now, Jesus was made a sin offering. I said a sin offering. That's what the scripture tells us. Because he was not made a sinner. He was made a sin offering for us who knew no sin. Jesus came from glory. He was not anyone that was familiar with sin, but he became a sin offering for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And not only us, but all others that will give their lives to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can walk in holiness and righteousness. The scripture tells us that. Because it was not God's will that any would perish, but all come to repentance. So when one repent of their sins, other words, change your way of thinking, and then receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you can walk in holiness and the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ made it possible for us all to have the righteousness of God. And through receiving him as Lord and Savior of our lives, we have. We're not trying to get the righteousness. We're not trying to be the righteous. We have the righteousness of God because he made it possible for us all. And I want you to understand something today, that he said that we were made the righteousness of God in him. So everyone that's in him has been made righteous. And everyone that's in him has been made holy. And the holiness of God only comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not because you get dressed up in a three-piece suit or you wear your hair a certain way or put on a certain kind of religious garb. No, that does not make you holy. In Hebrew, the 10th chapter and verse 10, it tells us how we are holy. And it's only through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And he did it all on Calvary's cross. That is why Calvary is so important to us all. That is why he gave his life. He gave his life for us, that he might live his life through us. He made us holy. He made us righteous. Let's look at what the scripture says in Hebrew, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. And Minister Glory, would you read
it? By the which will we are sanctified, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
We were made holy through Jesus Christ. So many people are trying to make themselves holy. You cannot do it. The moment that you try to do it, think back to what Apostle Paul has said in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it's virtually impossible for you to make yourself holy. But the scripture tells us, in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, that we all been sanctified, which we've been set apart. That's what sanctified means. In other words, and we've all been made holy. And it was through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And where did that take place? It took place on Calvary's cross. And this is why Calvary, my God, Calvary is so important. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, so important. That's where we have the victory, on the cross of what Jesus Christ has done for us all. We are not trying to get the victory. We have the victory. And you can walk in that victory. Everyone that is born again can walk in the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ can repent of their sins. Amen. And ask God to forgive them, acknowledge that they are a sinner and that they need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and give their hearts to Him, and they can walk in this victory. Praise Amen. God. And victorious living, Minister Glory.
In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it states, "But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ."
So the victory has been given to us that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. And this is why when He's given you the victory, we receive the victory, then we are to be steadfast.
Hallelujah.
And unmovable.
Yes.
And always abounding in the work of the Lord, what God has done.
Amen.
Praise God. And that work will not be done in vain.
Hallelujah.
Because Jesus Christ has obtained it for us all. Praise God.
Amen.
And Minister Glory, listen, the victory has been given to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we can walk in this victory.
Yes, once you believe.
Praise.
Hallelujah. But He's done for us on the cross of Calvary.
Praise God. We can walk in this victory.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what the circumstances are,
mm-hmm,
that's going on in your life. Don't identify to the circumstances.
No.
You identify to what Jesus Christ
has
done for us. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise His wonderful name. So there are many today that are suffering from sickness and disease and griefs and sorrows and shortcomings. I want to tell you today that Jesus took all of this and nailed it to His cross.
Yes.
And this is what's so important. If He took it and nail it to His cross, then you don't need to have it. You tell whatever it is that's trying to challenge you or come up on you, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Son of the living God. Because what you have is a blood covenant.
Ooh, glory
with
to God.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He shed His precious blood for the victory, for the peace that you have, for the joy that you can walk in. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And everything,
Amen,
that was done there on Calvary's cross. He made you holy.
Ooh, glory.
He sanctified you.
Mm-hmm.
He saved you. Praise God. Because
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells us that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name that's given among men that we must be saved. No other name under heaven. Praise God. So I know right now, all those that are tuning in the broadcast, you are under heaven. Praise God. You're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So what is happening is that the name of Jesus, Minister Glory, the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm,
is all powerful.
Well, but from name.
Praise God.
Every name.
The name of Jesus.
That's right. And every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Every knee's going to bow.
Mm-hmm.
So you may as well bow now and receive forgiveness.
And confirm that scripture is Philippians 2 and 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue, glory to God, everyone has a tongue, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Calvary's cross. My God, when you stand before the master, you have to tell your story. Praise God. Not that he doesn't know the story. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He's the all-wise God. And we are telling you today, praise God, that Calvary's cross is where all of our focus should be, because the sinner was convicted and the saints had to die with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that, praise God, that through his death, burial, and resurrection, that we walk in newness of life. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, glory to God, we understand where the power lies. It's not in anything that we're doing. The power lies within what Jesus Christ has done for us. And this is why we preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves. We tell you about Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the one that changes your life. And if you receive him into your heart as Lord and Savior of your life, there has to be guaranteed a tremendous change that will take place in your life once you receive him as Lord and Savior. Because he and he alone is the only one that is able to do this. Praise God. Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Corinth there, and to the Corinthians, and he was telling them in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, Minister Gloria, share that with our radio listeners.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are born again, which are saved, it is the power of God.
Wow.
Woo, glory to God.
What magnificent work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us through giving himself on Calvary's cross. And this is why the cross of Jesus Christ must be preached. No other reason but to tell everybody about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody deserve Jesus. Everybody need the Lord Jesus, and everybody should understand what took place there on Calvary Cross. It's not just a Bible story. It's the truth of God's word. And Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthians for the preaching of the cross. He never said for the preaching of prosperity. Never, he said, was the preaching of faith. He never said any of the other things or philosophy and all of this thing that you hear from time to time. Apostle Paul says, for the preaching of the cross that brings forth victory for us all, Jesus did it on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
And this is why we preach Christ.
Amen.
We don't preach ourselves. We don't preach all the other things that try to tickle the ears of the listeners. Your life only will be changed through giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving everything that he did or perhaps done on Calvary's cross. Now, Apostle Paul said the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness.
Yes.
See, folks that are dying, that don't believe the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, see, they are perishing.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But unto us,
yes,
which are saved, you see, unto us which are born again,
yes,
unto us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, unto us know the validity and the power of the cross, unto us it is the power of God,
glory to God,
unto salvation,
amen,
to everyone that believes, praise God. That's where the power of God is.
Amen.
The power of God is not because I stand behind a podium and shout and tell people about Jesus. No, the power of God is through receiving what Jesus Christ, the righteous,
yes,
done on Calvary's cross.
And that's good news.
That is good news.
Mm-hmm.
It's, Minister Gloria, it is good news.
Yes, it is.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because
yeah.
It's good news when you can tell somebody, well, listen, there was one that came and died for your sins, became your substitute, so that you don't have to die, you can live.
That's right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And he took your place there. Mm-hmm. That's good news.
It is.
And that's the love of God.
That's the love of God.
Wow, that's the love of God. Mm-hmm. When somebody comes and take your place.
That's right.
You know, wait a minute. I'll go. You stay.
That's right.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God.
And you know, Pastor, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
That's what the gospel is. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's the death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say that
the gospel.
We have to preach the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
We have to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the gospel, because first of all, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this and that was under the law.
Mm-hmm.
It was not grace. It was under the law because Jesus Christ was still on earth.
Yes.
Walking this earth.
Mm-hmm.
But when he died, mm-hmm. praise God, he ushered into the New Testament. Praise God.
Ooh, that's the
covenant.
That's the covenant.
Well, yes, praise
mm-hmm.
the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank God for Matthew, Mark,
yes,
Luke, and John.
Of course.
But glory to his wonderful name. Jesus had not died there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And when he died, then he ushered in that new covenant.
That's right.
Praise God. And we give the Lord all of the praise and honor and glory.
So then Acts is the beginning of the church.
Acts is the beginning of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise God.
And and another thing, it puzzles me too how everyone stays in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes.
Telling people about what Jesus did.
That's true.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is that now, where does the church arise?
Mm-hmm.
The church arise there in the book of Acts.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. In the book of Acts. Now, also, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John,
mm-hmm.
Jesus taught under the law.
Mm-hmm.
That was law.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. But then where did grace come?
Ooh,
thank God for his grace.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank mm-hmm. God for the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We look at this thing and we see that because of what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
My God, how many of us out there in Radio Land, we're tired of trying to do this thing on our own. We just have to receive what Jesus did.
So,
look, Minister of Glory, the Holy Spirit just put in my spirit here.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Titus, the second chapter there.
Mm-hmm.
Because grace, where would you be without grace?
Mm-hmm.
See, the law could not do it. The law showed us our sins.
Yes.
But grace, glory to God,
mm-hmm.
let us know that there's forgiveness of our sins.
Amen.
And it's only through and by the grace of God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Grace. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God for thank grace.
Thank God for grace.
Where would we be without grace?
Unmerited favor.
My glory. God.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is the goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Of God that's given to undeserving people.
Yes.
We don't deserve what we have,
mm-hmm.
but because of the grace of God, hallelujah,
amen.
We are blessed. Praise God. You know, Minister Gore, before we go any further here, you see, grace was revealed
mm-hmm.
unto us through Apostle Paul.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You see, mm-hmm. that's grace. Now, why? And it goes to show you how God used his name. It wasn't unlocked until God used Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Why didn't he tell Peter?
Mm.
Why didn't he tell John?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he tell Matthew or Mark? He used Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was an apostle of the law.
Right.
Apostle Paul, the apostle of grace.
Hallelujah.
And this is why Jesus Christ preached he is the grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
The Bible tells us in St. John 1 and verse 17, for the law came by way of Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
He is grace. You want to read Titus, the second chapter there? Praise God.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men.
All right. Now let's look at that clearly. The grace of God that brings salvation. See, this is why we all cannot boast about what we have or where we are because of the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, the grace of God that brings salvation.
Right.
To how many men?
All.
to all men. Mm-hmm. Where you are, the grace of God that brings salvation to all men. Mm-hmm. And grace teaches us something.
Yep.
Amen.
That denying ungodliness,
yes,
and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Praise God. So then that we can't boast about anything. Mm-mm. We just thank God for his grace.
Amen.
Thank God for his grace. Well, I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, the Lord Jesus Christ loved you. We are saved by grace through faith, and grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live soberly and righteously in this present world. So I want to have Minister Glory to give you Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, which is God's grace.
Amen.
For us all. Praise God. If you just believe.
Just open up and receive that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Good God Almighty.
With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Well, thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning in to the broadcast today. Just thank the Lord for every opportunity that he's given you. And just remember, you are saved by grace through faith. And that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on Calvary's cross. God bless you. Until the next broadcast is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. Thank you.